Father, I pray that we come with hearts that are tender towards you. Lord, that we seek to hear from you. Lord, ultimately, it's not about what I say. It's about what your Spirit does in each of our hearts and our minds. And God, I pray that we'd be sensitive to that. Father, give us just the grace to hear. In your name I pray, amen. How many of you guys have ever binge-watched a TV program? Either on Netflix or Amazon Prime or even Disney Plus. Yeah, a lot of you. It could have been your favorite show growing up. Tamina and I started watching Rescue Rangers on Disney Plus just to reminisce being kids, and we didn't even get through a whole episode. It was not as great as we once remember it being. How many of you guys, though, have ever binge-read a whole book series? You picked up a book and you couldn't put down the book, and then you ended up reading the whole series, and well, I've never done that one, I can confess. Here's another one. How many of you guys have ever played a video game from start to finish in only a couple sittings? Yeah, I have done that. In fact, I can remember doing it, and I can remember dreaming as if I was in the video game. Like, have you guys ever done that where, like, you'll binge watch a show or you'll binge read a book series or you'll play a video game so much so that it starts to infiltrate your dreams and you start to quote the movie or quote the book all the time? Yeah, what we put into our life matters. And when we spend so much time with these characters or so much time on these events in video games, it starts to infiltrate the way we think, the way we act. You know, we may think that we're in a war zone and we're just in our bed sleeping. The idea here is that what we put into our life matters. And this is such an important truth that we need to take seriously. And David shares that with us. And so I'm going to look at Psalm 1. So turn with me to Psalm 1. And I just want to go through Psalm 1 with us today. Steve had just finished up a sermon series, and we're going to start a new one for Advent. Next week is our Thanksgiving service, and so he had asked if I would like to come up and preach, and so I was like, I'd love to, and I wanted to just look at Psalm 1, because I think it's just important for us as we end this year and go into the next year, for us to think through what God wants to do in us. Psalm 1 says, "How blessed is the one who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the assembly of scoffers. Instead, he finds pleasure in obeying the Lord's commands. He meditates on his commands day and night. He is like a tree planted by flowing streams. It yields its fruit at the proper time, and its leaves never fall off. He succeeds in everything he attempts. Not so with the wicked. Instead, they're like wind-driven chaff. For this reason, the wicked cannot withstand judgment, nor can sinners join the assembly of the godly. Certainly, the Lord guards the ways of the godly, but the ways of the wicked ends in destruction." The main takeaway that I want you guys to walk away with today is that we can have a deep, intimate relationship with God. We can have a deep, intimate relationship with God. And David shows us this by talking about what we put into our lives. Now let's break that down a little bit. And the first thing I want to look at is just the contrast between the wicked and the blessed. And ultimately, we need to live as blessed people. This passage is a compare and contrast with the wicked. The blessed, it means in the Hebrew, happy. It means happy. And it's not because of circumstances, but because of contentment in Christ. In our culture, we love to talk about being blessed. Oh, I'm blessed to have this. Oh, I'm blessed to have this. I'm blessed to have this. Hashtag blessed, you know, when something good goes on. But that's all about what we have versus who we are. And God wants us to be blessed, which means to live happy. Not because of circumstance, but because of what he's done. Verse 1, how blessed is the one who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the assembly of scoffers. The blessed person doesn't allow those who don't know Jesus to have the main influence or even a great influence on their life. The blessed person does not allow those who don't know Jesus to influence them in the ways that they choose to live. Again, what we spend time to, we give influence to. The way David says is, the blessed person doesn't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway of sinners, or sit in the assembly of the scoffers. The follow, stand, sit could be a progression of influence that someone is giving. And the idea is, the wicked, it's their identity. It's what they want to do. It's who they are. They want to live for themselves. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't care what God thinks. And we, as followers of Christ, should not give that influence to them. When I think of this, I think of making chocolate chip cookies. In my house, we go through a lot of chocolate chip cookies. And what generally will happen is, we'll send Joel and Cody to bed, because they're the ones who go to bed first, and then we'll look at Elise and I and be like, hey, don't you want chocolate chip cookies? And they're like, no. They do, but they say no because they don't want to make them. So we convince them that they should make them. Well, if Joel and Cody find out that cookies are being made, they are doing everything in their ability to stay downstairs to wait for the dough to be made, because they want to be the first ones to get it, because they know they're supposed to be in bed. And the draw of the cookie is far greater than their desire to live in obedience. And that can be us. Our draw to sin, what we allow in our life, the people that we allow in, can influence us in such a way that our desire to be with them is far greater than our desire to do what we're supposed to do. To live as we're supposed to live. To act as we're supposed to act. First Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. As a follower of Christ, we cannot allow people or things that are not honoring to God to have the main or even strong influence in our lives. We need to live as blessed people. And he defines it. He says, instead, let's pick up verse 2. Instead, the blessed person, he finds pleasure. He or she finds pleasure. It's their longing. It's their desire is what is meant there. He finds pleasure in obeying the Lord's commands. He meditates on his commands day and night. So the blessed person doesn't allow the wicked to influence them. Instead, they obey the Lord's commands. It's what brings them pleasure. The commands of God is what they let influence them. And this could be through studying scripture in quiet time. It could be through Bible study. It could be what we listen to. It could be the movies we watch. It could be who we're hanging around. But we're learning the ways of God, understanding the commands of God, and we're letting them be what influences us, the way that we choose to live and act. John 14:15 says that if we love God, we obey his commands. This is what the blessed person or happy person does. They know the ways of God so they can live for God. This obedience is not out of compliance. Oh, fine. I'll do it. But it's out of not your will be done, not my will be done, but yours. It's out of surrender. It's out of saying, I want to do this because I love you and I know what's best for me. All of us have either played the little kid or watched the little kid that says, fine, I'll do it. And that's not what God's wanting. God wants our heart to say, I love you so much that I'm going to surrender my will and do yours. And the blessed person does that and says, hey, I want to know your ways. And I just don't want to know them. I want to live them out because I know it's what's best for me. And it's what will bring me pleasure, give me contentment, and ultimately, it really will be what makes me happy. They not only know the commands of God, but they meditate on them day and night. When I hear the word meditate, I always think of someone standing or sitting in a weird position, speaking gibberish over and over and over again. And you notice how hard that was? Because I'm not flexible at all. But that's not the idea here. The idea is actually someone who knows the commands of God, knows the word of God, and is considering it throughout their day, thinking about it throughout their day. For me, some examples in my life is when I go into a meeting, I know my personality. I love to talk. I love to give advice. And if I'm not careful, I like to be the center of attention. So when I go into a meeting, I'll often quote James and say, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. So it's me just reminding myself, quick to listen, quick to listen, quick to listen, because I like to be quick to speak. So I'm trying to let the word of God change me and what comes naturally and normally to me. When I get into a situation where it's a little insecure, I'm not sure how it's going to go, I like to quote 1 John. It says, perfect love casts out all fear. I don't have to worry. This situation isn't what defines me. Though I don't know the outcome, it's okay, because I know between God and I, there's nothing that gets between us. And so I can go into this with confidence, knowing that he's in control and I don't have to be. And all of a sudden, I'm able to walk through it with more confidence. It doesn't have to be insecure, because I recognize who God is. Because perfect love casts out fear. Knowing the word of God and meditating on day and night is a tool that will help us grow in our intimacy with God. Now, I believe that all followers want to have an intimate relationship with God, but I think a lot of times we don't want to do the work. We don't want to spend the time with God. And then we wonder why we don't feel as close as we could be. Blessed is the person that meditates on the ways of God. They do not give the wicked people, or the people who don't have a relationship with God, that's how he's defining wicked, the influence in their life. This compare and contrast that David is sharing in this passage is all about, hey, we need to live blessed lives. The question is, what are we giving influence to in our lives? Are we being influenced by the people of God, pointing us to the ways of God? Or are we being influenced away from God by the people who don't even have a relationship with him? I guess a question too is, are we pointing people to God? Are we pointing people to God in the way that we act, the way that we live, the way that we react, the way that we talk, the way we respond? Are we pointing people to Jesus? Do people know that we are followers of Christ by the way we live, act, and talk? Blessed, happy, content are those who obey the ways of God. Is this us? Is this you? Is this me? One of the ways that we grow in intimacy with God is living as a blessed person, someone who knows the word of God and meditates on it day and night. Another question that comes to my mind, though, is how do we limit the influence of those who don't follow God and still have enough of a relationship to point them to God? You know, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So we're supposed to limit this influence. So how do we do that in the world, but not of the world? A disturbing statistic is most people who surrender their life to Christ do not have non-believing friends after 3 years of being a Christian. Yet we're supposed to be this influencing of people. And we can see in the church how the culture has influenced the church, but are we able to see how we are influencing culture? How do we be in the world and not of the world? And I think one of the first things that we need to do is it starts with us as believers, understanding ourselves, understanding our own sin, understanding what leads us away from God. Because if we can understand who we are and our sin struggles, We can limit the situations we put ourselves in and limit the influence that other people have on us, understanding they may not be a healthy person for me because I struggle with this. So if it's, you know, I'm a really sarcastic person and I'm not really uplifting to those I'm around. In fact, I may struggle with anger. I need to guard myself against being around angry people. I need to guard myself against music or against movies or against things that lead me down the path of anger. Because I know that that draw will take me to where I don't want to go. So it's us being honest with ourselves, understanding our own sin. And it could be any sin. It could be I struggle with getting drunk and just going to party and I really like to drink and wait a minute. Okay, I may not be able to go to certain places because it will take me to where I don't want to go, so I'm going to say no here. It's us understanding ourselves and the sins that come so easy to us and saying, okay, wait, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to guard myself against that. But the other side of that is we need to also recognize that God says, hey, we need to share our faith. So if we are honest with ourselves and who we are, and we seek to share our faith and say, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm growing in my relationship with Christ, and I'm growing daily closer and closer to Him, and am I going to fail? Yes, but I want you to have the peace that can come with being a follower of Christ. See, non-believers and people who don't grow up in the church, they like authentic people. So if we can be honest with who we are, and our own struggles and point them to Jesus, it will draw them to you. See, the way that we be in the world but not of the world is we are honest with ourselves and seek to point others to Jesus. It will change the way that we see things. And ultimately, it'll have the heart that God wants us to have. David is comparing and contrasting the blessed versus the wicked. We as believers need to know the ways of God and live them out. We must limit the influence of culture in this broken world we live in, seeking to live for Him and pointing others to relationship with Him. Part of being intimate with God is living as blessed people. If we do this, what will be the outcome? That's my second point. That's what David gets to, the outcome. And the outcome is ultimately this: we will be fruitful in season. I have a former student that when I look at the tragedy in their life, it inspires me because of how they have stayed faithful to God. You guys know Jacoby Miles. 7 years ago, yesterday was when she broke her neck and became paralyzed from her chest down. And she is a young lady that at 22 exhibits living a blessed life, who doesn't look at her circumstances and say, well, stinks for me, but she's still able to point people to the grace of God. And it's just an inspiration. And the fruit of that is an influence on others that is unbelievable. And those who are around her can see that influence and just sit there and be like, go, Jacoby, great job. And it's just fun for me to watch her as a youth leader. She's been helping out with the junior high now, and she's taught a college Bible study the last 3 years during the summertime with Caleb, and just watching her grow and develop as a follower of Christ and just seeing the fruit is amazing. And David talks about the fruit of being a blessed person. And that is seen in verses 3 through 5. Let's look at verse 3. The blessed person, he or she is like a tree planted by flowing streams. It yields its fruit at the proper times, and its leaves never fall off. He succeeds in everything he attempts. I want you guys to imagine an irrigation ditch that is strategically placed. And by that irrigation ditch is a tree that's planted at just the right distance away for it to have the nutrients that it needs to thrive as a tree. See, this tree isn't a random placement. It is placed right where it needs to be so that it can thrive. And that's the tree that's described. The blessed person is like a tree planted by streams of water, and they have the nutrients they need to grow, to bear fruit in season. And this reminds me of John 15:1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me. He prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruit. You are clean already because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. John tells us that apart from God, we can accomplish nothing. But if we abide, if we know the ways of God and we live out the ways of God, if we abide in him, live in surrender to him, it will bear much fruit. We will bear much fruit. David says that we will produce fruit in season when we live as a blessed person. He never fully defines what that fruit is, and I think he gives us glimpses into what that fruit may be. So I just want for us to talk through quick, just what is the fruit of being a Christian? It starts with happiness, contentment, right? Blessed, happy is the person who meditates on the laws of the Lord, who knows the ways of God. It leads to contentment and happiness. Christians ultimately should not be frowning. And I think Steve's talked a bunch about that. Because when we look at what we have, the forgiveness and the grace, it should lead to joy. It should lead to happiness. It should lead to contentment. That is a fruit of us understanding our relationship with God and our intimacy with God. Another fruit Paul talks about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, such things there is no law. Against such things there is no law. Again, like as we surrender to God and as we yield to the Spirit, all of a sudden the Spirit of God works in us and changes us from the inside out. And the fruit of that change is peace. It's joy. It's an ability to love that we don't normally have. It's kindness, it's goodness, it's gentleness. See, these are fruits of us surrendering to God and letting the Spirit of God work in us. Another fruit is we will make disciples. We are commanded to do this. In fact, all the law and the commands are summed up in this: love God, which we read earlier. The way that we love God is we live in obedience to his command. So we love God in the way that we choose to act and live and what we surrender to. And we love others. The way that we love others is pointing them to Christ. Even those who don't know Christ. And especially to those who do. We have a responsibility. And the outworkings of us living a surrendered life to God and allowing the ways of God to shape us and change us, is this fruit starts to be produced and people will come to know Jesus and we'll be sharing our faith. We need to live as blessed people. And as we lived as blessed people, the outcome will be fruitful, a fruitful life. The fruit of our intimacy with God, or the outcomes, will be the actions. Our actions will reflect the ways of God. And we'll be pointing others to Christ. Now, what does David mean when he says that he succeeds in everything he attempts? I think in context, it's saying that as we pursue an intimate relationship with God, we will get it. See, we all know plenty of people who don't follow Jesus that have worldly success. And we know plenty of Christians that love God, that are faithful followers of Christ, and they don't have worldly success. See, ultimately, the way that God defines success is that we will have an intimate relationship with him. So this success that we will gain is an intimacy with him, which will lead to happiness, joy, contentment. In contrast, the wicked look very different. Verse 4 and 5, not so the wicked. Instead, they are like wind-driven chaff. For this reason, the wicked cannot withstand judgment, nor can sinners join the assembly of the godly. The wicked are like chaff. One commentary says it this way. The metaphor of the chaff reveals both the uselessness of the wicked and the ease with which God deals with them. The wicked will be dealt with by God on this earth and at final judgment. The wicked have no place with those who have a relationship with God. The outcome is destruction. The outcome of the blessed is a fruitful life. The outcome of the wicked is destruction. It's separation from God. How different these are. David is comparing, contrasting the wicked and the blessed. We need to live as blessed people, which will lead to outcomes. But what will fuel us is us remembering the promise that we have. And the promise is found in verse 6. And the promise is God is always with us. I love the story of Joshua and Moses. In fact, when you look at Joshua and Moses, it's probably the first picture of disciple making in the Old Testament. So Moses taught Joshua everything he knew about leadership, about God. And it gets to the end of Moses' life, and God commanded, hey, Moses, give Joshua leadership over Israel. And before he does that, he says, all right, Joshua, I want you to remember this. Be strong and courageous, because your God goes before you. See, Joshua is about to do the very thing that Moses wanted to do. He's taken the nation of Israel into the promised land. And this is going to be a crazy experience. And Moses says, Joshua, don't worry. God goes with you. It's a promise. And it's the same promise that we have here in verse 6. Is that God guards the ways of the godly. God guards the ways of the godly. As believers, we have to remember that God guards our ways. He will always go with us. He will go before us. This doesn't mean that life will be easy. It just means that we are not alone. We are not alone in our struggle against sin. We are not alone in sharing our faith with others. We are not alone in living out the ways of God. He goes with us. He helps us. And we can trust Him. One thing that can derail our intimacy with God is us growing tired of living out the ways of God and allowing the wicked to steal our joy. We stop living as blessed people. We forget the promise of the Lord guards our ways. We forget that we need to be strong and courageous. We let our circumstances just drag us down. There's a reason that the Bible so often says, don't grow tired doing what's right. See, what derails us is this world pulls us down. It tires us out. We lose sight of the victory we already have in Christ. And that's why it's important for us to live as blessed people, to know the ways of God, to know the commands of God, to know that He is with us so that we can meditate on the Word of God. And as we meditate on the Word of God, we remember that He goes with us. He goes before us. He's the one who gives us the power to overcome. And ultimately, one day we will be in His presence and we'll all be right. See, if we lose sight of the promise, we can get demotivated. And it just doesn't seem worth it anymore. Fighting the good fight doesn't seem worth it because my circumstances are too bad and I'm desperate. But where's God? And He says, I'm right here with you and I will always be with you. As believers, we need to remember the promise that God goes before us. It is what strengthens us to overcome our daily battles. I start out saying the thing that I wanted us to walk away with is that we can have an intimate relationship with God. Now, how do we have that intimate relationship with Him? We live a blessed life by knowing His ways and meditating on Him day and night. Memorizing Scripture is a way to help us. Writing out Scripture is a way to help us. Spending time in prayer, journaling, being in Bible study, being in community groups, listening to music that is pointing you towards Christ are all things that will help us meditate on the ways of the Lord. How many times have you guys gone through a tough time in your life and God put a song in your heart that helped you overcome that situation? That is meditating on the ways of God. It's what it's talking about. I want us to walk away encouraged today. One, that God wants us to have an intimate relationship with us, and He promised that He will go ahead of us, He will go before us. And what we need to do is surrender to Him, seek His ways, be blessed, happy. Why? Because He's in control, and I'm not. He knows the end from the beginning. I don't, and I don't have to, because I can trust Him. Let's pray and ask God to draw us closer to Himself as we seek to live blessed lives and grow in our intimacy with Him. Oh, Father, please go before us. You said that You will. God, if we are someone that needs encouragement, Father, I pray that You would just show them how You are with them. God, I pray that we would trust You in what You're doing, because You are at work in our lives. Father, draw us to Yourself. Help us to know Your ways and live out Your ways and point others to You. In Your name I pray. Amen.